So here we are today on the 31st day of the Omer, Tav Shin Samach Zayin. I'm doing a little bit of an early beginning to Masechet Yevamot, and we're going to maybe spend a couple of minutes discussing the sugya before we begin. Basically, Yevamot, although it appears to be dealing with Yevamot, is actually using Yevamot as a way into the sugya of the Arayot, as we're going to see. There's a very important reason for this, because Yevamot is the only time that Arayot become Mutarot. Okay, and that's part of the secret of Arayot, according to the Marsha, that appears at the end of Masechet Chagiga, which is, again, one of these classic tie-ins. Pagmoe ends with Chagiga, and Chagiga has Ein Dorshin Ba'Arayot, and according to the Marsha, the Ein Dorshin Ba'Arayot is to understand the nature of Heter Arayot, which is what the world began with, which is the Chesed Shasak Adosh Baruch Hu in Kain, Rimatir Achoto. So then it makes sense that we would begin, in fact, specifically with Arayot, and specifically Yibum. That was the world's first Yibum, Kain marrying his sister, basically. So what a Yibum means, in its original sense, as the Ramban explains in Chumash, is where it's necessary to marry what would otherwise be an incestuous relationship. And the necessity comes because of the need to provide offspring. So, in the case of Cain, it's the ultimate need to provide offspring. The world needs offspring, otherwise there would be no children for the human race. But in any particular case, it involves the need for rebuilding a brother who died without children. This, by the way, is remarkable because this is exactly what's happening in my family. My wife's brother died without children. Now she requires basically chalitza nowadays. It's unbelievable. My cousin, really wild. But,
that's so touching.
Yeah, that's, I like that better. That's a great idea. So, because of that, we're going to be getting into, and this is why Yevamos has a bad reputation. Yevamos has a bad reputation, even though it's extremely straightforward and simple. Masechta works only on a few very simple ideas that are beautifully interrelated. The reason it has a bad reputation is because people try to make diagrams of the relationships that are included in you. That's exactly what the problem is. And the key to success in Yevamos is never to look at a diagram. The key to success in Yevamos is to train your brain to recognize the name of each one of the situations that we're going to discuss with its name. Just like your brain is used to certain icons when you use the word cousin, you know what a cousin means. You don't have to think out, now wait a minute, cousin would mean that, what is it, a brother got married and had to... You never have to go through that. A cousin is a cousin is a cousin. And you know exactly what a second cousin is. You know what a first cousin twice removed is. And it's boom, right there, right? And this is exactly what you got to do for your Yevamos. Don't try to think out every time what the relationships are. Have it iconized in your brain like all the other important complex issues that are in your brain. As a matter of fact, like every word basically in your brain. You no longer have to work out what it means. It comes with a whole vast association of meanings. That's how human brains function. And if we start doing all the subroutines every single time and work them through, believe me, we get absolutely nowhere. And so it's completely unjustified. This is a lovely, lovely sector, one of the most beautiful, because it's so self-contained. And we're going to have tons of fun, as long as you don't look at any of those diagrams. Okay. Now, just a little bit of background as to what exactly Yibum is. The Torah says that if there are two brothers, one of whom dies without children, the other brother marries one of the wives of that deceased brother in order to have children with that wife. There are a couple of conditions that complicate this. One condition is the two brothers had to have been living simultaneously. The brother was born after the death of the other brother is not Chayav in Yibum. This creates all kinds of interesting variations, as we'll see. The brothers have to be related to a common father, which also gives us all type of interesting possibilities when there are other brothers who are related only through mothers. And what's more, the women that are married have to, no matter how many wives there are, even though only one of them requires Yibum, they all have to be at least theoretically capable of being miyuban, which means that they can't themselves be, for some other reason, asurot on the living brother. So since the Torah, originally, Yibum, as the Ramban points out, was any relative that would fall to Yibum, and this explains the story of Yehuda and Tamar and so on, that she was interested in being mityabem at the center. This is called a Matan Torah, where there was always a concept of Yibum from Ma'aseh Bereishit. After Kabbalat HaTorah, the only erva that is allowed for Yibum is the erva that has to be allowed for Yibum, namely a brother's wife. It's no choice. Yibum by definition is marrying a brother's wife. Normally, Eshet Achiv. Now, normally, Eshet Achiv is one of the Arayot. And that's the one thing that is left that the Torah had to be modified, otherwise the entire idea of Yibum would disappear. So, by definition, the way the Yerushalmi puts it, that Eshet Achiv, Lotikach, Eshet Achiv, and so on, is, and the mitzvah of Yavama Yavoh, the Dibur Echad Nenu. In other words, it's as if we heard on Har Sinai these two mitzvahs, contradictory mitzvahs, Miyaben, and never marry your brother's wife, we heard it as one word, because they're fundamentally interrelated. So therefore, if there's some other issur, even though before Kabbalat HaTorah wouldn't have mattered, let's say it's also your daughter-in-law, which is the case of Yehuda, wouldn't have mattered. But after Kabbalat HaTorah, as a chumrah of the Arayot, the Torah said, look, only where you have no choice will we be matered, the single erva that we need to be matered, which is a brother's wife, because that's the definition of Yehuda. But if that brother's wife is also related to you in some other way, related to the living brother, the surviving brother, in some other way that prevents her from being married, then the Yibum is cancelled. When the Yibum is cancelled, so is the Chalitza. The Chalitza is what is done when, normally, when a brother doesn't want to be Miyavim, but could be Miyavim. Well, nowadays we, in 99% of cases, don't allow Yibum, because it's the option of Chalitza. So we say nowadays we don't go for this kind of stuff, and we don't trust people's intent, and so on, as we'll see later on in the Gemara. And we prefer to do Chalitza, which we'll see even in our Mishnah, remiss to that. But Chalitza only needs to be done if there was an option of Yibum. There's no option of Yibum, there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza, it's all canceled. But what's interesting is that this means not only the single person who couldn't get married, but if any one of 100 wives, or if Solomon's 1,000 wives, would be related to the surviving brother, all of the women are potter, we learn out from a pasuk, they're all called the tsarot erva. That, by the way, is not a word made up in the Mishnah, that's a word that it comes from the story of Shmuel. So we find that word sarah, meaning the word for a co-wife. A co-wife is called the one you're, that's making life narrow for you. So in other words, when two people have to fit in the same bed, it somehow becomes narrow. When three people fit in the same bed, it's even narrower. So it's sarata. This is, by the way, the Gemara applies to the Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bed gets narrower and narrower. You start worshiping other gods. It's like this is the tzara. So wherever there's a tzara, then that tzara patters all of the other women. What's even more interesting is if you think about that, it means that all of the other women remain usher as an eshet achiv. Because since there's no yibum, nothing took off the isra of eshet achiv from them. Now, imagine a case where there are two surviving brothers. One of the surviving brothers has a problem in doing the Yibum because, let's say, his brother married his daughter. So now he can't marry his own daughter. So now he can't take any of those women. He's out of the picture. Fine. Comes along now another surviving brother and marries his daughter, which is fine, which was also Eshet Achiv, which of course is fine. Now the other brother dies without children. Now obviously there's not going to be any difference, because it's still his daughter. But suppose the other brother marries wife number 97, who was way, way out of the picture, but nonetheless couldn't marry the first brother, because wife number 1 was his daughter, so wife 97 is also Ptura. So now wife 97 of the first brother falls to the first surviving brother, because the second surviving brother now also died. But the problem is that she is always Asura because of being the Eshet Ach of the first brother that was not Chayavim in Yibum. So it's not that the second Yibum is now going to be Matir all Eshet Achs, whether it's from Ach number one or Ach number two. It's only going to be Matir the Eshet Ach of the brother that died, because that's the definition of Yibum. Since over here there's an additional Eshet Ach problem from the first brother that was never mutter for the original surviving brother, so now she is as if she's a primary erva to him. Not his daughter, but his brother's wife. His first brother's wife. So now the fact that she's also his second brother's wife, and he has to be Miyavimer, doesn't help. Just like it didn't help to have to be Miyavimer when she was his daughter. So this is called the Tzora of a Tzora. Because now all of the wives are going to be, once again, all Peturas. So the second surviving brother got a good idea from the first brother who died and figured, sure served to lengthen his life to have 100 wives, maybe I should have 150. All those 149 other wives are going to be Peturas from Yibam and Chalitza because of the fact that one of them was an Eshet Achiv Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah from the first brother. And therefore, as you can see, this goes on ad infinitum. No matter how many brothers there are, the tzara of a tzara of a tzara of a tzara is always going to be an eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olam, or I'm sorry, an eshet achiv shelo b'makom mitzvah, and therefore will pater her tzara as well. How about if we save questions for later? So we just get there. Let's not confuse ourselves. There's certain very, very simple relationships that we could talk about. Then we can get into the details. But once we get those few facts down, we have no problems. This, by the way, the tzara would be the equivalent case of a brother who was an eshet, who now is married to a woman, and he has a brother, and he dies, at which point another brother is born. The surviving brother, the older brother, who survives, now goes ahead and marries the wife of the first brother who died. And he also marries three other women. When he dies, none of his wives are going to get Yibam if he dies without children. Because the brother who was born afterwards will forever be a usher on the wife of the first brother, because there was no achiv of Hebrew as an eshetach, because it was an eshetachiv shelo haya ba'olamo. They didn't share any time in the world together. And the Torah says, ki yeshuachim yakadav, they have to be living in this world at some point in their lives at the same time.
So is your understanding that the three wives from the first brother, and let's say four wives from the second brother, the three wives.
I have to keep it simple. I'm going to have questions now. We'll have plenty of time for questions. The Gemara will probably raise your questions. So let's have a little patience. We now basically understand the entire first Mishnah. We barely have to bother learning it for the Din of the Yibam. The only thing, the reason that we'd want to learn it is because we want to be reminded of all of the possibilities. And since there are a lot of arayot in the parsha of arayot, we want to see how they all stack up basically in the case of Yibum, and try to work out in our minds how interesting it would be that a person's brother could die, leaving him basically just about any possible configuration, just about, not all, but just about any possible configuration of an erva that might fall to him. Could it leave him his own mother? Could his brother die and leave him his own mother to be Miyavim?
There was a child.
The Mishnah doesn't discuss that case for some reason. Why would the Mishnah not discuss that case?
And there was a child, his own.
It's not his brother's child. Could his mother's die? Could his brother die leaving his own mother as... Well, that depends on whether a son is allowed to marry a woman that was a casual relationship with his father, obviously. So suppose this man slept with a woman, had a son. So now he goes, finally, 10 years later, he goes and gets married. Gets married, has another son, this time through marriage. The two sons that he had are both brothers from the same father, and therefore if one dies, they certainly have to be miyabim. We don't, the legitimacy has no meaning in Jewish law at all. So now the question is, since there was no nisuin, if the brother who was born from the wife is allowed to marry a woman that his own father slept with, which by the way is the halacha, the fact that a man sleeps with a woman sometime in his life does not cause that woman to be asura on all of his offspring. I mean, that would be a disaster. And how in the way people would be sleeping then with their father's wives and all the time. You know, who knows how many women this guy slept with. But the fact is, there is no such issue. It's called earth. So there is no such issue. However, there is a mandiomar who holds that there's such an issue, which is called Anusat Aviv, his father's rape victim. So that would be, if that is true, then we can't find the case, because then any brother would never be allowed to marry legitimately, though in which it would not be a marriage, and therefore wouldn't be Mechayev Yibum. So there would be no such case. In fact, our mission doesn't teach the case, because it's going according to the Mahayom, as we'll see. But in essence, La Halacha, a case is missing from the Mishnah. Because we could actually have a case where a man's own mother would end up falling to him for Yibum, and therefore, just as he couldn't take her, he couldn't take any of the other many wives that were married to that brother.
If there aren't brothers, it goes to the father or something? There aren't brothers.
We're not talking about Yerusha here. We're talking about Yibum.
Yibum.
Only brothers. Only brothers. Yeah. Once upon a time.
But Yehuda did.
That was before Kabbalat HaTorah. That's the Rambam points out. So, let us begin now with Saba Jash's marvelous introduction to our Mishnah, not only our Mishnah, and then we'll get into the mood. Could have been decent too. Chamesh Esrei Nashim. Says the Mishnah, there are 15 women, and as I just pointed out, there's actually 16 because we've got a case that's missing. But there are 15 women that if they fall to Yibum, not only are they p'tur from Yibum, but they will also potrot sarotehem, they will also, if they are one of many wives, they will also potter all of their co-wives, their sarot, from Yibum, and of course from Chalitza. And not only that, they will also potter the sarot sarotehem, so that if there was a remaining brother besides brother number two, brother one died, brother two can't marry any of the brother's wives because they're tsarot of an erva to him, let's say it's his mother, not the case in the Mishnah, or his daughter that falls to him now, which is a simple case, his brother married his daughter, it's fine, it's a mitzvah to marry your niece, it's great. So now he dies leaving his own daughter, so that's it, he can't do Yibum, not to his daughter, and not therefore to any of the women, they're tsarot. Now, brother number three goes and marries one of the tsarot. I mean, he could have married the daughter also, but she's a little old for him. See, when he married one of the other wives, and now he dies. So now, the brother number two is faced with a completely unrelated woman. Ah, but she is related, because she was originally married to a brother that made her an eshet hakshelo b'malka mitzvah. So she is the tsara of a tsara, now, all the other wives will be tsara of a tsara. So just like the tsara can't be mityabemet, so too the tsara can't be mityabemet. And therefore she will be potter, and since chalitza only applies where there's a possibility of yibum, and here there's no possibility of yibum, so therefore potrot tsarotehem, the tsarot tsarotehem, min ha-chalitza as well, u-min ha-yibum, which is odd, it should have said min ha-yibum, min ha-chalitza, since the primary mitzvah is yibum, so as I mentioned to you earlier, the Chachomim did not like the idea of encouraging yibum in later generations, and therefore put in the Mishnah chalitza first, as the best option. At sofa olam, this goes on ad infinitum, so that the tzara, the tzara, the tzara, the tzara, will also potter in a case where there are 1,000 brothers, and now the 1,000th brother falls now to the original first brother, and his 16th wife is now the tsara of a tsara of a tsara of a tsara of a tsara, etc., etc. She will also be Petura Minayibum, because basically, as Rambam points out, Rashi also will see in the Gemara later, each one of these tzarot becomes instantly a primary erva herself, because she remains now an eshet achiv shelo b'makom mitzvah from the first fall to yibum, and therefore, boy, what a day to miss the introduction on Richie. Man, oh man. Yeah, you know, that's what we have in the Mishnah Chagiga. Uvad lo yuchal litkon v'chisaron lo yuchal limanot. Ze shenimna achiv to go to the Tel Aviv demonstration, the rally. V'lo v'aladaf yomi ala mochorat. But I got to tell you, it's better than taking an eshadish and being boiled a mamzer from her.
Okay.
So we'll forgive you this. Okay. So, but you'll have to catch up on the internet, even though it's so painful for you. Okay. Good boy. Yeah, we're ready to proceed. And these are they, Elohim. Are you ready? Are we set? Then let us proceed. Bito. The guy's own daughter can easily fall to Yibam for him. We're talking about, as we will see, most likely, although this is really a Machlokas Rashi and Tosis, whether we should limit it to this case, but we are talking about his daughter from an illicit relationship. Because later on we'll see that there's another context of the Mishnah to speak about where his wife's daughter falls to him. Now, if his wife's daughter is also his daughter, then it would still be included in Bito. There would be no Chiddush. So what we're talking about over here is where it's his daughter, but not his wife's daughter, which means that he didn't have a wife. He had a woman. So that means that Bito over here would be the daughter of a rape or a consensual. I mean, we call it always Bito Manusato to cover all cases of non-marriage. Bito. And that would include not only Bito, but Bat Bito. And for that matter, if he had a son from that casual relationship, and that son had a daughter, then that granddaughter could also very easily fall to Yibam if his brother married them. There's certainly nothing wrong, as a matter of fact, it's even a mitzvah, to marry your niece or your grandniece or your grandniece through a nephew. Right? So all of these cases are very, very fine families, except for the minor problem of never having gotten married, but we've forgotten that in the generations, and these are now nieces and nephews. And they're all easily, you could conceive how they would fall to him in Yibam, and they will all pop to their tzara. So that's 3 out of 15 cases we just knocked off, not even a blink of an eye. Now, we also have another 3 very simple cases. His wife's daughter, well, that's really simple to understand how it fell to Yibam, not even related to him really, except through marriage. Certainly his brother could marry them. And Bat Binah, her granddaughter through a son, and her granddaughter through her daughter, because it says Isha Ubita, Bat Bita, Bat Binah, is Asur, it's a fair shapasik. So that's not a problem where we know that from. The question of where it's his own daughter and his own granddaughter, that is not so simple, because the only thing that it mentions is not his own daughter, but in the case of the Anusata, that we'll see. We're going to learn. We just had it, actually, of the Zima. But we'll get to that tomorrow. Chamoto, the other cases. Oh, this is a bad one. His mother-in-law falls to him for Yima. Forget it. I mean, that's obviously, even if there weren't this or Erevat, I mean, that would be. They say there's some things that even if the Torah hadn't said, you'd figure it out yourself. So if your mother-in-law, again, it's very simple to figure out a case where a mother-in-law can fall to Yibum. As a matter of fact, it's simple to think of 2 cases where a mother-in-law can fall to Yibum. But for some reason, we really talk about only one of the cases, which is that her husband died. So his mother-in-law's husband died, and his brother goes ahead and marries her. That's simple. Could also be a case in which his daughter dies and ends up now falling, the mother of the daughter falls to him for Yibam. But that's for those cases that it requires the daughter dying, so we'll ignore that case. So your simple case, the husband died, to whom his mother-in-law was originally married, his brother-in-law goes out and marries his mother-in-law, they probably were not brothers that got along very well, and fine, very simple case. What's more, his mother-in-law's mother, or for that matter, his father-in-law's mother, because after all, if the Torah says, You can't marry a woman and her daughter. You can't marry a woman and her daughter's daughter or father's daughter. Then it works in the opposite direction also, right? If you married the daughter's daughter or the son's daughter, then if you marry now the grandmother, you're taking a woman and her granddaughter. So what's the difference whether you started with a woman or whether you started with the granddaughter? So therefore, it really is exactly the same thing. It's the same case in the inverse. To marry the granddaughter of the woman that you had a casual relationship with, or to marry the mother-in-law or the mother's mother or grandmother of a woman that you were married to, it's all the same thing.
Does menopause have anything to do with...
No. Very interestingly, no. Although sterility does. But we'll be getting to that. We'll be getting to it. Correct? Yes, you're right. You're right. The woman has to be suited biologically to have been able to have children, but her current situation does not define the chiyuv of yibum. We'll see that it is even a machlokas about what type of island is tzurah from yibum, but we'll get to that a little later in the Mishnah. So now, these cases are also very simple. So his brother goes ahead and married either his mother-in-law, his mother-in-law's mother, or his father-in-law's mother, which is the same thing as marrying an Isha. If he would marry her, it's the same thing as marrying an Isha, Vita, Ubat Vene. Because once he would, if he would take the mother-in-law, he would then be married to an Isha and Bat Bina, which you can't do. And so therefore, all of the other wives are also Keturot, because they are Tzarot of an Erva to him. So look at this. We've already taken care of most of the Mishnah. We couldn't even take any time. See how nice and sweet and easy Yibam is.
There's no
charts. There's no charts. Another case would be where Achoto Mi'imo falls to him. Now here, this is a little bit more complicated, but also very simple. He has a sister from a mother, but that sister is completely unrelated to his brother from his father. Right? Okay, so his father now is married to another woman, had a son. Since Yibum is defined by the two sons of the father's relationship, it's very easy for the brother from a common father to be married to his sister from a different woman. Right? It was this woman had a sister, it's not a daughter of the same father. The father goes and marries a woman that had a daughter from somebody else. Now, he's related to that woman's, because it's his mother, to that woman's daughter, it's his sister, from a common mother. But that woman is completely unrelated to his brother from a common father. And they got married. These kind of things happen all the time. Nothing happened in my family. Right? Classic cases. So, there his own sister can fall to him, to Yibum, as long as it's his sister from a common mother and doesn't have, otherwise it's impossible. Because in the same way that he can't marry his own sister from his father, the brother from his father would by definition have that same sister. But we could have a case of his sister from a mother, yes, that's simple, can fall to Yibum, not his sister from a father. Okay. So, Achoto Me'imo, and of course, Achot Imo, his mother's sister, who is completely unrelated to his brother, because his brother doesn't know anything from his mother. His brother's the son of a different woman. So Achot Imo, his mother's brother, because a man is not allowed to marry his mother's sister. And Achot Ishto. What's interesting is that over here, his wife's sister. Now, I mean, it's certainly not a big problem to have Ishta Achot Ishto, and the brother who is married now to his wife's sister dies. He's got a problem. He's not allowed to marry a woman and her sister. And Eshet Achiv Me'imo. Now, what you could also have is a fascinating case where his brother, who is his brother from his mother, and therefore not a member of the Yibum issue, but his brother was married to his a woman, doesn't matter, who, not related to him, but to somebody. Now he dies. he dies, and that woman is now perfectly muteret at this point to a brother of his from his father, who has nothing in common with this brother from his mother, who was married to this woman. So now, falling to him is his brother from his father's wife, which he's supposed to be having. There's only one problem. She was once married to his brother from his mother, where there was no Yibum, and that never was taken off. So here an Eshet Ach falls to him, who is not an Eshet Ach that is Chayavet Yibum. So we've already seen three cases where we can have an Eshet Ach fall to Yibum that the Yibum doesn't cancel. One of the cases is the classical case of Tzora. The Tzora of a woman who was a real Erva to him remains an Eshet Ach to him forever because she's not Chayavet Yibum to him. So there we have an Eshet Ach who now, when the second brother who married this Tzora dies, there you have a brother who's married to a woman, and the reason that you cannot, that surviving brother cannot marry her is because it's his Eshet Ach, not the Eshet Ach of the one that's behind him in Yibum, but another Eshet Ach. That was one case. The second case we have in an Eshet Ach that Yibum wouldn't cancel was where a brother's wife who never was alive simultaneously with him falls to him from Yibum through the death of a brother who was alive with him simultaneously. There too, she remains an Eshet Ach from a brother that no mitzvah of Yibum canceled. That's case number two. The third case where an Eshet Ach can fall to a person and not only not be chayevet in Yibum, but pater all of her tzorah from Yibum, is where she was an Eshet Ach from his mother at one time or another, and now falls to him as Eshet Ach from his brother, another brother from a common father. Now there's no way that he can take her because she remains an Eshet Ach. So vis-a-vis the Isser of Eshet Ach, it makes no difference whether there's an Ach from the common mother, an Ach from the common father. But vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Yibum, the mitzvah of Yibum only applies where they have a common father. Therefore, the first marriage that she had to a brother for the common mother to him is never going to be canceled because of a mitzvah of Yibum. And so she remains a surah forever and ever. So we have three cases where the actual person who now potters is pottering because of the classic case of Eshet Ach, but it's an Eshet Ach shelo b'makom mitzvah. Okay. No. We're going to talk about the Isurim in the Gemara. Eshet Achiv mi'imo, and the Eshet Achiv shelo haya ba'olamo, which is the other case that we mentioned, right, which is a brother that was born after the death of his oldest brother. Now the second brother went ahead and did a Yibum. Now the second brother dies, and they had lived together in the world for a while, but the first wife that's going to fall to him was married to a brother that never shared this earth with him, and therefore remains forever usur because of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. So these are the three cases of Eshet Ach that falls. Furthermore, we have the final case, actually the penultimate case because we skipped Imo, but the final case listed in the Mishnah of the 15 is Kalato, where unfortunately his son now died, and his brother went ahead and married his son's wife, Ramona, and now, which is no problem at all, but now his brother dies, leaving his own erstwhile Kala to him, and that is an issue that remains forever, even after the death of his son, and therefore there's nothing to do about it. She potters now all of the other wives that would be married, she potters from evil. And now you got it. Harayelu, potrot zerotehem, betzerot zerotehem, minachalitzah, minayibum, ad sofa olam. There is the list, and now basically you know all you got to know about Yevamos. The rest is just the details. Say lamat. V'chulam. Now, in all of the above cases, if at the time that the brother died, there was no marriage in existence to the woman that was the problem to the surviving brother, the fact that the brother had once been married to that woman doesn't mean that you're no longer in mitzvah yibum. It all goes according to the instant of death. If at that moment, the moment before he died, he gave this woman a get, course, his death might have had something to do with the revolver that was in her purse at that moment. But if a moment before he died, he gave her a get, and now he dies leaving the other wives, but not her, who's in prison, so then there would be a chiyuv of aviva. So kulami metu. So if now the wives died, umianu, or the wives were mima'anot. Now mima'anot, we're going to get to the complications of mian a little bit later, but basically mian is a process by which a woman who's married only mitarabona, such as a brother marries her off after the death of her father, her mother marries her off after the death of her father. So the Chachamim said, okay, in order to protect women from predators, we would like them to have a husband. So even though they're now under 12, it's a lot safer to have a husband, so to speak, not a real husband, but we will give it a sanctity of marriage, despite the fact that she can't really be Mekabelet Kedushin, and they can't be Mekabel Kedushin for her. We created a relationship there that provides for her protection, but in the same way that we provide for her protection, we also want to provide for protection from her supposed protector. And the way that we did that, is that we said if she gets up and tells us she doesn't like him, she doesn't want to be married to him, before she becomes a gedolah, immediately, anytime, then the whole thing is canceled. She just walks away. There's no complications. That's called mians. It's basically the annulment of a marriage to rabbonim. Okay? Yeah, they've been sleeping together for years. Now she's mad at him. She wants out. She wants out, forget it. Bye-bye. Okay, so it's a beautiful kind of institution, it really is, because it takes into consideration all the variants of advantage taking and basically gives her the upper hand. So both to be protected and to be protected from the protector. No, we'll see. Those are gzeiros, but on the horizon, she's muteris. So we'll see what mian does in our Mishnah. Even there's certain problems that mian creates because we treat it partially like a marriage. Now you'll say, wait. This doesn't make any sense, because in the case you said kulan in mianu, that would include his daughter. Of the cases above, is his daughter listed? But the only case where there's a mian is where his daughter wasn't married bin Yeraisa. How was his daughter married if he was alive up until this minute? Right?
Well, father can't.
If a father marries off a daughter, there's no mian, because that's the right. You can't just annul that marriage. And here we're saying his daughter falls to him, but if she was bima'enet a minute before his brother died, what do you mean bima'enet? How should bima'enet? Her father's alive. The answer is that there exists a situation which is called a yitoma b'chaye avia. A child could be an orphan though her father is alive. Because, again, the relationship to being an orphan is defined halakhically. It's not defined biologically. So there are cases where the father can no longer achieve a marriage of his daughter. Where is that? Where he already gave her to someone. It was a regular marriage. She was 6. And then they went ahead and got divorced. A regular divorce. Problem is, well, he died, right? The husband died. The husband dies. She now is completely free. The father lost all rights to her marriage and so on, by giving her away now to someone else. In other cases, well, let's take this case, guy dies, and now it's the end of that marriage. Now she goes and marries Minarabonon, as a 7-year-old, somebody else. His brother. His brother, which is fine. He wants to marry his niece. He's got to protect his niece.
But he has no obligation.
No. There's no Yibam. He just likes his niece. He's going to take good care of her. So he marries her, but then he dies. So if he dies, now the brother cannot do Yibam to any of the women that he's married to, because his own daughter has fallen to Midrabana. Right? Now we'll see what happens there. Does he have to do Chalitz and so on? That we'll see in a moment. But if she went ahead and was Mema'enet in her kindly uncle, who turned out to be the last of a series of unfortunate events, so in that case, he would be allowed to marry any of the tzarot, because they're no longer married. So here is a case where a woman could be Mema'enet in the lifetime of her father, and therefore her father can now marry all of the other women that the last of a series of unfortunate events was married to. Not everybody's aware of it.
I'm in book 10.
You're only in book 10. All right.
Don't spoil the ending.
So if either they died, the Erva died, the Erva was Mima'enet, the Erva was Mitgareshet, or the Erva was discovered to be sterile. Now, Nimtzu Island seems to be saying that since she was discovered to be sterile before the death, that's what it's mashma, then there's a problem of a mekach ta'ut in the marriage, because when he married her, he thought that she was fertile. Now it turned out that she's sterile, so that annuls the marriage. The question is whether the fact that a woman would be sterile, even if it wasn't nimtzu before, after the death of the husband, we now find that the erva on him, maybe his own daughter. Turns out her daughter is his daughter is sterile. Would that mean that there is no problem with marrying one of the other wives? Because after all, as Yaakov pointed out, there's no din of yibum in the case of a woman who cannot be mekayim zera liyachiv. So maybe she's not included bichlal in the parsha, and we only look at the other wives. Or is the whole issue over here a matter of it being a mekach ta'ut, and therefore an annulment of the original marriage, which if it didn't happen while the brother was alive, we cannot be sure. Maybe he would have wanted to keep her, even though he found out she was sterile, and he would just marry somebody else, or maybe he has other wives, or whatever. That is a question we're going to see later on in the Gemara, and how to be medayik the words over here, nimtzu ayilim. Okay? But in any event, if for some reason, at the moment of death, the woman who is an erva on the surviving brother was no longer married, or was no longer in the parsha of that yibum, then all of the other wives who remain in the parsha of yibum who are married, they are now chayavot in yibum and chalitza, because sarotehem mutarot. However, with one caveat.
Not necessarily parallel,
correct. The iataya cholom, that's why I added the words in the parsha of yibum. The iataya cholomar b'chamoto, of course, it would be rather difficult, even though we said all of the above, we don't really mean all of the above, because his mother-in-law couldn't be Mima'enet, because she's too old. So she couldn't have been Mima'enet now. And his mother-in-law's mother and his father-in-law's mother. Those are, we didn't mean all the above can be mima'anot. They're a little bit too old to be mima'anot. And they're a little bit too old to be discovered to be sterile, since he is now, somebody's married to the proof that they weren't sterile. So therefore, you couldn't say shenimtzu ailonit or shemianu. Okay, but other than that, and even including bito, we spoke about the interesting case, any of the other cases we could find any of the above. Death, or Nimtzu Ailanit, or Milan, or Gerushin would apply across the board.
Is this where we get the distinction between intrinsically sterile and maybe that happens because
no,
of sterile
no,
later?
No, but we'll see later. Ketzad Pukrot Sorotayim. Now, when we said that not only they are Paturites, what do we mean when they say they potter all of the other wives? Let's just spell it out. We already know what the Mishnah is going to say. Haitabito, let's say his daughter or one of the other 14, or as we know, one of the other 15. Achat mikol arayote, let's say one of the above arayot were married to his brother, and he has another wife, velo isha acheret, and now the brother dies. When we say potrotzorotehem, what we mean is that Kishem Shibito Petura, just like his daughter or any of the other Arayas, are themselves Petura from Yibum. Kach zarata ptura, so too is any co-wife that was married to that brother, ptura min hayibum. Furthermore, what do we mean by tzarat tzara? Halchat tzarat bito. Let's say that two surviving brothers were around. So on surviving brother number one, he's out of the picture because of the fact that his daughter has been married to the deceased brother. Okay, so ignore him. So the other surviving brother goes ahead now and marries not the daughter, but marries the woman that had been married to the same brother to whom the daughter had been married, who is the tzara of the daughter. He marries that woman, and he also has other wives. And now he goes ahead and dies. Ah, there we get into the question of a tzara of a tzara. So, halchat tzarat pito, the other wife that had been married to the same man to whom the daughter had been married at the time of the death of the brother. And she goes ahead and has this yibum with the other surviving brother. So she is nis'eit. Nis'eit means, of course, through yibum, and otherwise it wouldn't be possible, because she would be asura anyways in Eshetach. Nis'eit means she goes and gets married as a yavama. Le'achiv asheni, to the other surviving brother, who has another wife, lo isha acheret. So he is now married to the tzarat bito of the first surviving brother, and the tzara of the tzarat bito, which is his own wife that is now also married at the same time. So now, lo isha acheret, and now he dies, kishem shetzarat bito ptura, the same way that the tzarat bito is ptura, and she basically remains on the first surviving brother, an eshet ach shelo b'moka mitzvah, from the first relationship of brother number one, where we just threw him out of the equation. So too is the tzara of that tzara ptura. Afilu hein me'a. Even if there would be 100 such cases, you can keep going from brother to brother, and a tzara, a tzara, a tzara, a tzara, and it would always basically boil down to the same issue. Because it would always be marrying the tzara of an erva who is called an eshadach, over Moka Mitzvah. So really, it doesn't matter how many times this happens, because it always goes back, they're chosen liyos ervas. It's always a tzara of an erva. So technically speaking, there's not really such a thing as a tzara of a tzara. Because the tzara automatically became an erva. So now the tzara is a tzara of an erva. Okay? At least this is the way Rambam understands the sugya. Rashi explains the sugya over here. And this becomes now a limud from a pasuk that the Gemara is going to bring from the extra resh in Yitzvah. Okay. Now, Ketzad, what did we mean when we said above that imetu tzarotehem, that we said, if the tzara died before the brother, so what do we mean that then they are mutarot? Well, what we mean is very simple. Let's say his daughter. Well, can we have the daughter now to stand in front of the arayot, or any of the other arayot, or can't be called arayot elu, married to his brother, and his brother has another wife, then, if his daughter died, or his daughter got divorced, and then Akakav Meit Achiv, and then his brother died, leaving now the other wife to be Mityad Emet, at that point, Tzaratam Muteret. It's not the fact that she was once married to a man who was at that time married. It's not such Yisr. It's no magic of catchy arayas. There's no catchy arayas. There's only the problem of a household being an entire household. And therefore, if one of the household doesn't fall to Yibum, none of the household falls to Yibum. But if it's not a household, you don't catch a problem of an erva because you were married to the same guy that an erva is. We're not talking about AIDS. We're talking about Yibum. So therefore, there's a regular falling to Yibum. It doesn't matter that once upon a time his brother happened to have been married to somebody who was an erva to him. It's all A-OK.
If they ever dies, the tzara is no longer considered tzara.
That's correct. Achkach meit achiv, her erstwhile tzara, her tzarata, is muteret at this point. Now there's one additional thing that we should note, which is that in the event that the miyun never took place, we said in the case, let's say his daughter would have been mima'enet, there'd be no problem. Suppose his daughter wasn't mima'enet. So now we've got a curious situation, because we have two women that are falling to you. One is his daughter, one is somebody else. The somebody else is married mid'oraisa, and is really chayevet and yibum. The daughter isn't really married midiraisa. She's only married the Rambanan. So what we ought to say is, well, in this case, I mean, what are we going to cancel the mitzvah of the Araisa because we're married? I mean, it isn't a real marriage. You can't just cancel it. On the other hand, I mean, we've created a situation where it looks like she is a Tzarat Erva. Therefore, the Rabbanan said, in such a case where Miyun could have taken place but didn't, we treat it as if there's a marriage there that prevents the Yibum. Okay, so we do Chalitz. Because we obviously can't just say, go out. Because the problem is that the Torah says, Lo tehei eshet hamesh achutza le'izar. It's an issur d'oraita to marry a woman who is chayevet in Yibum or chalitza until after the chalitza takes place. So what are we going to do? We can't simply say, well, since the Rabbanan consider her married, let's forget about Yibum and chalitza. Then that woman can never get married again.
Issur
of
the woman?
Like all arayas, issur on both sides. All arayas are both sided. So therefore, we have to create a heter for her, but on the other hand, we can't say, well, let her get Yibum. Obviously, the Tzora is not really, people will say, oh, so they're going to say, wow, I guess it really doesn't matter. You know, it's interesting. Joe's daughter felt in for Yibum, but he went ahead and he took the other wife. So people will think that means there's no Isser of the Tzora Tzora. So therefore, we don't allow the Yibum to take place if people shouldn't be mezalzo in the Isser of Tzora Tzora. But on the other hand, obviously, we have to provide for a heter. So we say, let her get chalitza. Normally, there's no such thing. In other words, if there's no yibum, there's no chalitza, by definition. The two, because the Torah presents chalitza as the option for not doing yibum. But if there is no doing yibum, then there's no doing chalitza. She's free. It's only in this case where the contradiction between the Rabbanan status and the Diraita status that we have to create this situation. We'll see there are other such problems, where there's a status that gets in the way, which is not enough to potter her from Yibam, but nonetheless, which makes it prohibited for him to go ahead. You'll notice that all of the cases that we mentioned here are cases of an Isur Karet, right? At least, some of them are Isur Mitas. We'll see that all 15 women are an Isur Karet. Now, there may be a difference. There are also cases in which a woman who is an Isur Lav falls to a person. And over there, you could say, Esedochalotas, that perhaps is a mitzvah of Yibam, there's a mitzvah of the law. We don't learn out that case from the post that tells us not to say Esedochalotas. All this we'll see later on. But what we have to know is called Hayecholalamayin, where the potential for Miyun was there. Golomiana, the Miyun did not take place before the death of the brother. Then Sarata would only be choletzet, even though really Mikaradin, there's no reason for her not to be mityabemet, since there's no diuraita marriage to Nerva, but we don't allow it, and she only gets chalitza v'lo mityabemet. She's not allowed to be miyabemet. Asks the Gemara about the organization of the Mishnah. How is this Mishnah organized? The din that Yibum does not cancel a Isser Erva is learned, as we will see later, from the word aleha, from achot isha, itzur aleha b'chayeha, and yevama yavo aleha. That tells us that even though yevama yavo aleha, nonetheless the iser litzur eshet achot ishto remains. Okay, so that means the one mikor in the Torah that teaches us that yibum does not apply across the board to all arayot. And we don't say aseh dech docha lo taseh, is the pasuk of achot isha. Why doesn't that come first, since that's the model for all of the dinim in the Mishnah? So, mifti, kulun miachot isha yafin. Every last one of the cases over there, that are rayot, or pturot, min ayibum, the din of tsarot, they all come from one word, basically, two words in the pasuk of achot isha. Shouldn't that be the opening of the Mishnah? Litnei achot isha bereisha, because it's the model. V'chitemena, maybe you'll tell me that actually the Mishnah is more interested, this is a fantastic question over here, maybe you'll tell me that the Mishnah is more interested in defining the organization of the Masechta in terms of the Arayot than it is in terms of Yibum. And therefore we don't look to the model of Yibum as being what we're interested in. We look to the organization of the Arayot. And as far as the Arayot are concerned, we have some very chamur arayot, which would be, let's say, sreifa or skila, and then we have arayot that are less chamur, which are just karet, and there's not a tea of mita at all. So v'chitem, and maybe you'll tell me that the Tana is more interested in giving us the order of the arayot, starting with the most chamur, Tana chumre chumre notat, which is not so poshut, because there's actually a machloket as to which mitat beitin is more chamur, skila or sreifa. Now the opening cases in the Mishnah of the variance of a woman and her daughter and her granddaughter, which is the equivalent of the mother-in-law, the father's mother, and so on. So those cases are all the sreifa cases. But there's a man who holds that skila is more chamur, which would mean that kalato ought to be up front, the first one, because that's a skila case. So maybe you'll say that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shimon. Tana chumre chumre nakat, it's going according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that sreifa is the most chamur, right? So therefore, it starts with all of the sreifot issues, which is the bito, bat bito, and then the isha, and ima, and aim ima, or aim avia. But then, if that's the case, then why wasn't chamoto mentioned first? Because even though you'll say it's all the same sreifa, so why mention your mother-in-law first? Because the din of sreifa is learned from the pasuk of Zimahi, the HT Srofu, which is mentioned about a mother-in-law. And therefore, if you want to get out of the question of using the model for Yibum, okay, so then use the model for Arayot. But if it's true that we're looking for a model, make the model the first. I don't care, either the model of the Dinim of Yibum, which would be the Achot Ishto, or the model for the Chumra of the Arayot, which would be Chamato. But neither case works. So say Chamato Bereish, because then Iker Srefa B'Chamato K'tive, besides which, it's anyway out of order. It's the last case in the Mishnah was Kalato. Was according to this, Kalato should follow Chamato immediately. And Chamato, by Chamato we mean all of the Srefa issues. Because Bata Chamato Litne Kalato, after that we should have the din of Kalato, because Kalato is the only other Chiyav Mita in the Mishnah at all. It happens to be Sreifa. Even if it were Chenet, it would be the same thing. But it happens to be Skila, and Skila certainly, even according to Rabbi Shimon, comes immediately after Sreifa. The Bata Sreifa, Skila, Chamura. The next thing's after Sreifa. Skila is Chamur, says Tosin, and that's really not necessary to say that, because obviously any Chiyuv Mita is more Chamur than the rest of the Arayot mentioned here, which are all just a Chiyuv Karet. But the Tana wants to, we just want to clarify, okay, since we said it's Rabbi Shimon, so you want to tell me Skila is secondary. Okay, fine, it's secondary. But it is secondary, and why isn't it up there? Therefore, that can't be the reason. So in other words, it's not models that we're looking for. Okay. So what is it that you're looking for? Aha! We're looking for what we like. And you know what I like. And what I like is drushes. Well, there's things that it says b'feirush in the Torah. I mean, any Tom, Dick, and Harry can know that. It's we, the Chachamim, who manage to figure things out on our own. Now, that's something to be proud of. And given the Atami drusha, there's one case in the Mishnah which is the Bito. Bito, believe it or not, does not appear anywhere in the Torah. It only talks about the Bat Bito, and the Bat, the words, Bat Beno, where it's talking about Anusato. It does say an Isha Ubita, but here we're talking about a woman that he's not married to. So it's not an Isha Ubita, because he has no relationship to this woman. So there, the Torah doesn't say it in the Farish. That I learn out only from the drasha, and that is Chavimelech. I like that case. And since I like that case, I put that case first, and then I go back now to the things that follow. We'll see what the rest of the case of the Mishnah. But Bito, already it makes sense to start talking about Bat Bito, Bat Beno, Isho Bit, that's all. That's all the cases that have to do with the direct descendants, either his own or his wife's, either going down or going up. We start with that. But I mean, if you're talking about what you like, And kulanam in the drasha alf. I mean, isn't it true that as far at least as the dinim of Yibam are concerned, that we parted the arayot from Yibam, they are all learned from Akot Isha. So if they're all learned from Akot Isha, basically the whole Mishnah you could have organized the way we thought, to have the model up front. There you have both the model and the drasha. It's great. So why don't you say that first? No, come on. Mehigalin and Yibam are to midrash. I already told you. I already told you that I'm not organizing this Mishnah in terms of the models of Yibam. I'm interested in the Arayot. So although it's true that vis-a-vis Yibam, you're right, we could have had our cake and eat it too. We could have had the model, and the fact that that model was a model because of a drasha, and then we would really have an organized Mishnah, except that we're not looking to that organization. We're looking to the organization of the Arayot. So even though we're in Yibam and Midrasha, but certainly, Ikur Yisrael, the Etzem Iser of Achot Ishto is written beferish in the Torah, and therefore there's nothing exciting about it. Old hats. And therefore, the adjective, we don't want to have that up front. Whereas, Vita, the whole Ikur Iser, the very fact that there is an Iser Erva on Vita, is only learned from the drasha that we will talk about on our next meeting. Yeah. Shabbos, we said we're not meeting because of Lag BaOmer, which is why we're doing this stuff today. We're going to have a few lines left. I don't think that that's going to work out either because of the same basis. There you got it. Arayelo kotrotzo atem etzotzo atem binachem. Itzamine yibum atzof olam. Vekulam im meitu vienu nitgarshu. O shenib tzu'u aylonit tzorotahem mutarot. V'iya ta yochalo mar bechamoto vim chamoto vim chamif shenib tzu'u aylonit o shemiyanu atyisi. Keitzat kotrotzo atem. Hayta bito achat mikol arayot aylon nisuat lachit. Velo isha acheret umeit. Kishem shebito or the other ones raptura tatzorat raptura. Now, Katzarat Pitov in Sitla Hirashini, Velo Isha Akara Domain, Kishem Shetzarat Pitov Tura, Katzarat Zarata Ptura, Afilimia, Ketzad in Meitu Tzarotayem Mutarot, Aitabito, Hatmikol Arayot Elunusuat Laki, Velo Isha Akara, Mitabito, Nidgasha, Beachaka Mitachiv, Tzarata Mutarot, Vekola Yecholana Maim, Velo Miana, Tzarata Koletzit, Velo Mityabem, Mirti. כולו מאחות אישה יפים, ותנאי אחות אישה ברצל. וחיתם את הנחום לחומי נוקף, רבי שמיני, יום השריפה חמורה, יחד לבני חמותו ברשת, היא כשריפה בחמותו כתיבה. ועוד, ואתה חמותו לידי קלתו, ובאתה שריפה סכירה חמורה. אלא ביתו כיוון דעת המדרש החביב עליו. What do you mean? כולו נעמי מדרש האטו. No, נעמי מניבו מעטי המדרשה, but עיקר ישראל, is written b'feirush b'adektivu, whereas only the case of Bito, Mianusato, ikar isura midrasha.